Time for the 6th annual Porch Fest Quincy Music Celebration. It's coming up this year on Saturday, June 24th from 3 to 9 p.m. We want to welcome organizers of this year's event. Walter Hubley and also Bill Lebo are here to give us a little information about this year's festival, how you can participate, and what you can expect. So guys, thanks for coming over.
Oh yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Bill, nice to meet you for the first time. Folks might recognize your last name from your famous mom, Emily, on the Quincy School Committee.
That's right, yep. Still on the school committee here, absolutely.
So, but you're active too in the Marymount neighborhood organizing.
Yeah, of course.
Porch Fest.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's fun.
Yeah, street captain for the past 5 years or so in the, in the Marymount neighborhood.
Very good. But Walter, this is the 6th annual, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to believe looking back how many years we've been doing this and where it's come and so forth. It's just, it's great to see.
Yeah, I remember the first year you and Ward 3 Counselor Ian Kane had an idea, thought it, you know, might fly, weren't really sure, maybe five bands you were hoping.
Yeah.
It turned out to be a great success right off the start, right?
Yeah, just the city really embraced it. We did start off with some, you know, ambitions of maybe 5 to 10 bands in one neighborhood, and then as soon as word got out, we got a lot of, we'll say, interest from different areas of the city, and you know, predominantly that interest was from Squanum, and well, of course my neighborhood, Wollaston Hill, already knew about it, and then Marymount later, and it was, it's really taken off. It's become sort of like a standard Quincy event each year.
People look forward to it. I know they mark it on the calendars. I'm sure the bands do,
and
I'm sure the volunteers do as well. But for folks who don't know, let's just a really quick primer. What is Porch Fest?
All right, so Porch Fest is a music festival. Held in three different neighborhoods in Quincy. That's Marymount, Wollaston Hill, and Squanum. There are about 100 bands, just over 100 bands that perform each year on average, and it runs from 3 in the afternoon till 9 p.m. on the last Saturday in June, which this year is June 24th. And so essentially you just walk around the neighborhood, it's all free to attend. All of the bands are volunteering their time and talent, and a lot of other volunteers are in the background helping to make things work and get things organized. And yeah, you just walk around, enjoy the day. You can go to our website to see the schedule, which will get published about a week before the event. You can use your smartphone to look at it while you're walking around, or you can print out a from the PDF. And yeah, you just kind of plan out your day and walk around, listen to great music, meet your neighbors, and you know, meet people that you otherwise might not have another opportunity to meet.
Yes, yeah. How did it all start? It didn't start here in Quincy, right?
Sure, yeah. The history behind it, the origin story, I guess, would be in Ithaca, New York, back in 2007, it got started. And then over the years, it just started spreading across North America and, and internationally, frankly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And there's a large group of Porch Fest organizers that collaborate together online through social media. And we help each other out. And over time, I've given some assistance to the town of Hull, a little bit to Milton as well, a little bit to Dedham, and just other places that, you know, we're thinking about getting it started.
Mm.
And I got a lot of help from Jamaica Plain and other areas as well.
Mm-hmm, so. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So in Massachusetts, was it first in Jamaica Plain, do you know?
I want to say, yeah, I don't know exactly who was the first one in Massachusetts.
Okay, but here in Quincy anyway, it's been 6 years going strong now. How has it changed, would you say, from then till now?
I would say we do have some food. In the first year, we had a lot of different food vendors, and we've kind of scaled that back a little bit. There will be a few in each neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
But what we found is a lot of the folks in different neighborhoods kind of make a party out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's, you know, they kind of cater their own thing. So I'd say we've scaled back a little bit on offering food options. And but a lot of the bands that started in year one, I mean, a lot of them are still with us performing every single year.
Wow.
And it's wonderful. It's amazing. And what's great is over the years, you know, when we first started it, it was really challenging to organize because we were answering the question, what are you trying to do? Like really often. But over the years now, a lot of the repeat volunteers kind of know the drill and they know what we're doing. And then there's some new people. We're onboarding a bunch of new bands, but a lot of them are playing different Porch Fests around the state, so they kind of know the deal.
They know when they say Porch Fest, what's expected of them. Right?
Yeah.
They wouldn't be performing on somebody's front porch, basically, on a Saturday afternoon in June. Yeah.
And I think we've had like a bit of a groove, too. Like, we have like the repeat porches, the people that like are doing this year after year, like Wally said, organizing their like family parties around this as well. And then we have the staple bands, like bands in my neighborhood, like the Tokyo Tramps and Dark Crushes and new bands like the Dire Frequencies popping up. Like, these are like staples now in our neighborhood, and people kind of expect them to be there. Okay. And we plan around this now. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. Are you yourself musically inclined, Bill?
I am a big music fan.
Okay, all right.
And I own a guitar that sits there in my in my office.
Okay.
Yeah. I used to play it.
Well, I mean, you know, performance is no good without spectators,
yes,
right?
I can appreciate very good music, yeah.
There you go. There you go. There's nothing wrong with that. Right. Walter, as I recall, the hours have changed over the years, have they not?
Yeah, originally we started in the first year, we ran it from 1 to 5.
Yeah.
About 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock. And what we found is that, much like other events in the city, the height of the attendance was somewhere between 3 and later. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, different soccer games and other events going on
so
throughout the city.
Going on, yeah.
So much going on, yeah. And then people take that opportunity to go shopping and run errands and so forth. So
Saturday stuff, right?
Around 3 o'clock is when we started seeing more of the crowd show up.
Yeah.
So we shifted the hours to be a little bit later.
Okay, and it seems to have worked out well, right?
It works out very well.
Yeah, it's still light out till almost that 9 o'clock at by that time.
Yeah, so in June, yes.
Yeah.
In September when we did it just during out of COVID.
Yeah.
We did run it until 9, and it was getting pretty dark around that in September.
Yeah.
So if we ever had to move it, we would definitely run it a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
But in June, it definitely works out well.
I do want to ask you about how the pandemic impacted it. Were you able to have it every year through the pandemic?
No, we had to skip a year.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
So 2020, I'm guessing, the year that wasn't.
We didn't know what we could possibly get permitted.
Right.
I don't think anybody really knew what to expect going into that year.
Yeah.
So we put it on pause and came back pretty strong the next year.
Yeah.
I would say the impact of COVID had a lot to do with people not being able to get together in bands, not being able to practice together, bands not having gigs to refine what they're doing. And so we did see a lot of bands kind of go into hibernation, let's say. But now a lot of them are back. And as I said earlier, a good amount of the bands we have are repeat bands that have been with us for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the kind of thing that really would benefit from a virtual format. Although certainly you could try, and I know that some bands did and some performers did, but it's just not the same.
Not the same.
It's not the same, yeah.
No, not at all.
Well, it breaks it away from its mission, and the mission is to help build community through the shared experience of music, and you're not necessarily sharing the experience when you're in your own home somewhere,
exactly.
You know, looking over the computer.
Yeah, I mean, the whole performing arts industry really was so severely impacted. Did you see a full rush come back on the year that you returned?
Yeah, people were very excited to get back to it. And,
yep,
and the only ones that didn't really get back to it immediately are ones that, as I mentioned before, they weren't able to practice together.
Yeah.
So suddenly getting out there again, you need to get warmed
up. You're a little rusty. Yeah.
Yeah.
Has it always been Wollaston, Marymount, Squanto?
Those were the sort of initial flagship neighborhoods. We have had a number of requests to try to expand it beyond those neighborhoods.
Yeah.
The challenge we have there, and we did try it 1 year in one neighborhood, and what happens though is when you spread out the performances over a large geography, you start to reduce the amount of audience that the bands get, and we really value the musicians, their time, their talents, they're donating their time.
Yep.
It takes some time to get there, to get set up, and then perform, and then put everything away, and it's important that they have a really good audience, which is why we've stopped the expansion of it and kept it where it was originally, and where we did it was where we just saw the most organic interest, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. We put it out there for the whole city to see, and the majority of the requests came from Wollaston Hill, Squantum, and Marymount, which is where we brought it.
Yeah. I'm curious, Bill, maybe you can answer, in Marymount, are you seeing maybe faces that you wouldn't normally see in the neighborhood during Porch Fest, so folks who come from other parts of the city?
Yeah, I'd say it's it is huge for the people that live in Marymount.
Of course.
They love it.
Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely. We are seeing people come in. You know, like I said before, it's a good chance for people to organize parties around and bring their friends in, but also just people traveling in. Like I've run into people in the streets that travel into Quincy, travel into
just for this,
just to see this, just to see the band. Maybe sometimes they know somebody in the band, but otherwise they're just there for the event and for like the awesome vibes and walking around the street and hear music.
So through organizing the Marymount Porch Fest, have you learned about other parts of the city that you might not have been aware of before?
Well, my focus is on Marymount, but that said, I do learn about the activities in Squantum and Wollaston. A lot of similarities, right? A lot of similarities in those neighborhoods. Like Wally said, there was a lot of organic interest in events like this coming out of those places. Mm. So that was kind of cool to see those ties throughout the Quincy, throughout the whole city.
Do you find, you know, you kind of get groupies every year? You've got your, you know, your basic crowds that come just for this.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like an event. Like people are always asking, like throughout the year, people are asking me about like when's the next one. And it's like, it's very, like bands that want to like stay in Squantum because they had an awesome time, or stay in Marymount because they had an awesome time. Or maybe they we try to like rotate and switch it up a little bit, but there's a lot of interest in like what you're comfortable with, and like that repeat performance is kind of cool.
So, and I'm sure you find the same thing at Walston. Walter, is that right?
Yeah. So we do have two other volunteers who aren't with us today. So it's Stacey LeMay is kind of spearheads all of Squantum, and my wife Catherine Hughley takes care of Walston Hill, and I focus mainly on sort of social media and overall higher level organizing. And so the similar thing that people look forward to it, they kind of plan on it. A lot of bands will say, oh, I want to be back on that porch again because I had a really good time. And I think build a lot of good relationships between the bands and the people who host the bands on their porch, and they just want it to come back again. Some people will, you know, want to mix it up a little bit and go to a different neighborhood.
Let's talk about the hosts of the events, you know, the porch volunteers, if you will, folks who donate their homes, right, for this event. I'm sure you get repeat customers for them every year, too.
Yeah, a lot of folks, like, so George Burke has been doing it since day one. Okay. He has a really good-sized porch, and we put the Atlantic Youth Orchestra on his porch, as well as the WSU Bluegrass Band, which I had on our show, your show, several years back when we when I brought the band on from the Bluegrass Band that we brought on.
Okay.
It was, I think it was A.M. Quincy that year.
Oh, all right, okay, I'm getting old now, Walter. Forget these things.
Didn't mean to put you on the spot on that one. But yeah, there's a lot of repeat performances for bands and porch hosts. They kind of build their yearly party around it.
So we're recording this on May 25th. And to date, how many bands, how many porches have you got?
We have, porches, I don't have a count on that, but we have just over 100 bands registered right now.
Okay.
And we'll be taking registrations right up until the end of this month, and we'll even leave it registrations open into June a little bit, because we often get cancellations. Someone gets sick, or someone has a commitment that they can't make it. So we're almost always looking for new bands to fill in, and so it's great to have more bands on the waiting list to get in. But we generally have a porch for everybody, and we put on average 2 to 3 bands on every porch, you know, separated by a little bit of time to get set up and take things down.
Do you need more volunteers? Do you need more Porsches?
Would love to have some more bands register. Always, as I said, always space for that. And if you have a porch that's in one of the areas that we've outlined on the website, we would also love to have you as an opportunity for us to maybe put a band there if we have enough. And
so does it have to be a porch? Can it be a driveway?
It doesn't necessarily have to be a porch.
Okay.
So we've had front yards, driveways, they all kind of work. We make it work.
Okay, it's but you obviously just under the umbrella of
Porch Fest. It's useful to have a power outlet outside somewhere that we can get access to, and an extension cord.
Let's talk about the nuts and bolts of, facilities, things like that, road closures, anything like that that folks should be aware of.
So some of the neighborhoods on a routine basis will pull a block party permit to block off their streets. That's usually where the little kids will tend to congregate. So there are some street closures, but we don't close the streets. We do put up signs saying, please drive carefully on the entranceway to the neighborhoods. And logistically speaking, the map will be available about a week before the event, and you can download it. We used to print them out and hand them out, but we're doing that a lot less these days, because everyone seems to have a smartphone and a printer at home. And we'll have a few porta potties in each neighborhood.
You have to talk about this stuff.
They'll be on the map as well.
Okay.
And there'll be a few food options in each neighborhood as well.
Oh, there will be. Okay. All right. Yeah. And obviously, folks would have to pay for the food.
Exactly. Yeah. That's really the only thing you're paying for is any food that you want to get while you're out there.
Sure. So, Bill, what's going to be happening in where Marymount, and what's going to be happening in Marymount?
Yeah. So the Marymount area is really congregated, focused mostly around the school, the Marymount Elementary School, in that part of the neighborhood. We have about a dozen porches right now in Marymount, looking for a couple more to round that out in some parts of the neighborhood. My wife and I will be hosting for the first time this year. Usually we're just spectators walking around, but we're going to actually host three bands this year as well. We don't have a porch, so we'll be setting up in a driveway with an outlet and tent and all those things. And we'll also have, right by our house, Black's Creek Barbecue will be set up selling food for the event. Like Wally said, that'll be on the map as well.
Okay.
We're super excited about hosting this year because this is like one of the most fun things we do in the neighborhood.
Really?
We're kind of like, get people out walking around. So really looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, it's like a built-in block party. I mean, really, the entertainment's already provided. Yeah. You just have to show up, have some food and enjoy it.
Yeah, it's laid back fun, right?
Yeah.
So it's like because of the volunteers hosting their porches and because of the volunteer bands, it's all just set up there, and then you can just. Everyone can just come and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Right? How about on Walston Hill, Walter? What are we going to expect this year? Where and what?
So, it'll be up near the Warren Ave area.
Okay.
And then there'll be a small pocket of houses down by the Adams Street area on the Forbes Hill area. And we'll have about, 13 to 15 porches and a similar amount of bands as Marymount. Yeah.
Nice.
And likewise for Squantum.
Yeah, where and what in Squantum?
Yeah, Squantum, think like Bellevue Ave, and then towards the water is generally where most of it is.
Okay.
So like Monmouth and Park, and then all the way over to where I'm spacing on the name of the road, that main sort of drive past the elementary school.
Okay.
So usually in that area is where most of the performances will take place.
So it won't be hard to find.
Right? No, not at all. If you just head straight into Squantum, you'll hear the music and it'll take you right to it.
Where are the bands from? Just, obviously,
Quincy.
Every single one, but a lot from Quincy?
Yeah, a lot from Quincy, but also a lot from kind of all over New Hampshire. I'd say the furthest away we've ever had a band come to perform was from New York.
Wow.
But that's, an outlier
the city?
More so.
From New York City?
I don't remember exactly where in New York that they were from, but. But we've had a few from Connecticut, but it's bands that play regionally, generally speaking.
Yeah, and probably bring their own fan base to the dedicated ones, at least, right? The groupies, if you will. Yeah.
And some of them, perform around the world as well, but
wow.
and they're from here, so they, they like to perform here in Quincy.
Sure. So, do any of them write specific material just for Porch Fest, or is it stuff?
We've seen some bands get together for the purpose of Porch Fest.
Really?
Yeah, like a couple of friends who play play music together. They'll maybe put together a trio for the event itself.
Yeah. Okay. So they benefit from it too.
But I haven't really heard any content created.
I was just going to say, wouldn't that be something, right? Yeah.
But we did create a beer this year.
Yeah, I was just going to ask about.
So I was going to say we could segue to that.
All right.
Yeah, so we partnered with Break Rock Brewing, the new brewery in Quincy out at Marina Bay.
Yes.
Jay and the team over there and V, we partnered with them to create a beer. And it is a California Common is the type of beer that it is.
Okay.
It's available now at the tap room. It's also on sale at Wollaston Wine and Liquor as well as the Milton Marketplace.
Okay.
And the part of the proceeds from the sale of the beer goes towards helping to fund the event, things like porta potties and paying for all the infrastructure that we're doing.
Costs,
So we're excited to have Break Rock as a partner and a sponsor through their donations through the beer. And if you're viewing this show on Thursday before 6 o'clock, we're having a beer release party tonight at Break Rock Brewing.
Okay.
So stop by, try the beer, buy your Porch Fest T-shirt, enjoy meeting friends.
So what's the name of the beer?
It's Porch Fest Quincy Beer.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is the process of creating a beer, Walter?
Well, I can tell you, I was front and center through the whole thing. So Vila, the brewer at Break Rock, and I spent a good part of Tuesday evening, I would say a couple of weeks ago, and she took me through the entire process, and I was able to do it all hands-on, pouring all the ingredients in, mixing things, timing things. Learned a lot about the chemistry of making beer.
Yeah.
I can't say I remember all of it, but...
My next question was, how many taste tests did you have to do?
A few.
Okay.
You got to do quality control.
Of course, yes.
Yeah. And then also I worked with a graphic designer, so her name is Kelly McHugh, and she worked with me to create the label.
Okay.
And so I met with her, gave her the concept of look and feel, the kind of thinking that I had around the event. And she came back with some ideas, and then we worked together to refine it. And I think the label came out really nice. And then her sister, Sarah McHugh, who's the taproom manager, has done some of the social media content for us, which came out really nice. So all in all, between making the beer and producing the label and producing the materials to promote it, a great experience, a lot of fun, learned a little bit, and it was great.
Well, from A to Z when it comes to beer making, right, from the manufacturing to the marketing, you learned. Yeah, what's the label? What does it look like?
So it has a porch on it.
Very good.
To be expected. Has some instruments. I believe I sent the graphic over. They might be able to overlay it during while we're talking.
Okay, good.
And it has a couple of instruments on a porch with some flowers around it, really kind of a neighborhoody feel. Mm-hmm. And there's a little bit of a mystery in there, or a puzzle in there. You'll see a couple of birds, and you, for those who are familiar with the different bird types, we, because Porch Fest came from Ithaca, New York, mm-hmm. and we were one of the groups that brought it to Massachusetts, we have the New York State bird and the Massachusetts black-capped chickadee hidden in the inside the label, so look out for that. All so right. We had a little fun with this. That's I had fun. Maybe a little too much fun.
What's the New York State bird?
I don't remember off the top of my head.
All right. Is it modeled after anybody's porch in particular, yours perhaps?
No,
Just a generic porch.
Yeah, just generic porch. Okay. We searched through a lot of imagery over a couple of days and came up with one that looked really good.
That sounds like fun. Yeah. Is it going to be available all the time now? Or?
Yeah, it'll be available in cans at the tap room and at a couple of local places. It's going to be on tap at a few restaurants soon, and it'll be on tap at Break Rock Brewing.
What's it taste like?
If you've ever had one of the popular types of California Commons is Anchor Steam. If you've ever tried that, it will be similar to that.
Okay.
Has kind of a light amber color to it. And I do have the tasting notes if you're interested.
Wow, so interesting. You really did get into it.
It's described as a slightly fruity beer with a caramel malt sweetness, showcasing rustic and traditional hop characteristics. It's a light amber, medium bodied. It's a great beer.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And you mentioned t-shirts, and I see that Bill is wearing one from this year's events. There you go. So how and where do I get those?
Well, you can order them on our website, porchfestquincy.org.
Okay.
They'll be available for sale at the beer event tonight as well.
Okay.
And you order them online. You can pick them up at Coffee Break Cafe, or we'll deliver them to your house if you're in Quincy.
Okay. Very good. Yeah. Now, some of the bands you said that are in this year's event have been with you from the start. So, is it the same members, do you know, as well?
For the most part,
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of the bands are still together, and they come by every year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know that you and your daughter have performed in years past. Will that be the case again this year?
No. I will be probably jumping in on a few songs with the WSU Bluegrass Band and maybe something else.
Okay. A good point, too, that you brought up is it's all different kinds of music, right?
Oh. All different kinds of genres.
Yeah.
It's reggae to folk to rock to classic rock. We even have an AC/DC cover band this year, which is a new one called Power Up.
Okay.
So pretty excited about that. And I mentioned earlier we have the Atlantic Youth Orchestra playing. We also have a local musician, Anthony Andronico, the Ward 2 counselor's father, who plays around town. He'll be performing down in Squanum.
Oh, no kidding.
And we have the Heather Lynn, who's got sort of an upbeat country feel to it. She's a new performer this year. Chrysalis Wind Trio, which is a combination of a bassoon, an oboist, and English horn. So as you can see, just the full genre, full spectrum of music, everything from established musicians who have been playing for years professionally to a couple of high school kids getting together and creating a band.
And so will people be able to see on the schedule what types of music so they can kind of pick and choose
where they want to go? On the printed schedule, we'll just have the name and location, but online, there's a blog post on our website for every single band.
Okay.
And in the blog post, when you click on it, you can go to their online content if they have anything. So if they have a YouTube channel, if they have an Apple Music or Spotify playlist, it'll be there.
Okay, good. So, and Bill, you've probably seen, music in Quincy in general, the arts in general, it's really exploded over the past couple of years, particularly with the advent of the Hancock Adams Common, providing a venue for performances like this. So as a resident, do you think that's a good thing?
Yeah, no, this is, it's been great, right? Yeah. It's been great since like the first year of Porch Fest where we kind of saw like this organic interest start and it kind of exploded from there. So I think, you're right, it spreads like beyond Porch Fest throughout the city. You see a lot more concerts happening. I think I'm going to see Cracker at the Veterans Memorial Stadium this weekend, which I didn't imagine I was ever going to say.
Well.
We're seeing a lot more of this throughout the city. I think it's a great thing.
Yeah. Not only music, but arts too, with the new arts gallery.
Absolutely.
Well.
Yep.
What's exciting about seeing how Quincy's evolving is, you know, you've got the downtown, which is now starting to become a restaurant destination.
For sure.
We have the Hancock Adams Green, which has become, that's become an arts destination. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of stuff during the year from Country Fest to, you know, all kinds of different performances.
Yeah, Swing on the Common not too long ago.
Yeah, so it's, and then you see places like the Poor Yard that and I have live music outdoors. And what we're starting to see is just a real good, in addition to the restaurant destination that Quincy's becoming, we're almost starting to become a music destination. Mm. I think the two together make for a really great community building.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also, I think, filtered down to the schools. Bill, your mom might have talked about this as well, but the combined marching band has come, you know, years from where it was just a couple of years ago, really. So it's really good to see.
No, that is phenomenal. I have a few boys in the high school here at Quincy High, getting exposure to that has been, I've never been able to play a horn or anything like that, but again, a great appreciation for people that can pick that up, and seeing the kids in the high school like do what they do is amazing.
And maybe inspire younger kids too, you know,
100%
to at least try it.
Yep.
Social media, yes, I'm guessing.
Yep, so if you go to our website, you can link to the different social media accounts we have. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at this point.
Right.
And everything that, if you follow us on those platforms, you'll get updates almost every day of what bands we're announcing and other things that we're announcing. It's a good way to stay in tune with the festival. You can also sign up for our email list on the website as well.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. I know I ask every year, and every year I get the same answer. But what happens if it rains?
We're from New England, Joe. that's my answer, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah.
We forge on. No rain date. It would be next to impossible to kind of coordinate a rain date for
100 plus bands,
which equates to several hundred volunteers,
right,
people with their schedules. And it's hard enough trying to arrange it for one day, but we do get a lot of support. So in one year where we started to see a little bit of inclement weather coming in, the Housenet Community Council quickly assembled and brought us all of their Easy Up tents.
Yep.
And people have now built that into their part of hosting, is mm-hmm. if they need a tent, they'll bring one.
The backup, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of people have covered porches, and it works out pretty well.
Yeah, that's true, too. Well, that's an opportunity to sell, you know, Porch Fest ponchos and Porch Fest umbrellas.
You've just joined the committee.
Speaking of, do you need any help putting this together, Walter?
Yeah, we've got great volunteers. Yeah. As I said, Stacy LeMay down in Squanum, Bill and Mary Mount, my wife, Catherine Hubley in Wollaston Hill.
Yeah.
We've got a great set of volunteers. If you want to help out one of the porch hosts get mm-hmm. things set up and so forth, we're happy to put you to work and helping out, and also handing out flyers if you're interested in doing that, and selling shirts. Especially if someone would like to set up a stand and sell some shirts for us, that would be very appreciated.
Okay, all right, good to know. Anything else we should let folks know about right now about Porch Fest Quincy 2023?
I'd say in addition to Break Rock Brewing helping out with funding through the beer, we also received a grant from the Mass Cultural Commission this year as well to help out with some of the costs. So big thanks to them, and also thanks to the individual donors that have sent in donations to help, you know, pay for things like our insurance and mm-hmm. and website and everything that goes into it.
Things you don't even think of, right? But you are a registered nonprofit, 501c3,
yep.
So donations are tax deductible.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. First year hosting this year, Bill, so
yep.
any trepidation going into it, or any advice for hosts?
My volunteers throughout the years have kind of paved the way, so I kind of know the ins and outs of this at this point.
Yep.
I think, like, you know, parting words, it's just easy fun. It's like anyone should go check it out. It's just like you can show up, hang out, walk around, and it's all there for you, and it's because of all the amazing volunteers and the bands and porches.
Yeah, I'm sure you get a lot of folks pushing strollers, walking dogs, things like that. It truly is a neighborhood event.
Super laid back, very neighborhood event, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, definitely a good mix of people who attend. You see families, you see, you know, groups of teenagers, you see, you know, folks from all different areas of the city and all different types of folks.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Good to talk to you.
Yep. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks
for
having
us. Have a great Porch Fest again this year. And again, thank you for watching us here at AM Quincy. I'm Joe Catalano. We'll see you next time.